We're right now on our way into a violin duo. They call themselves the Seeing Double Duo. It's a violinist from around here whom we know, Julia Salerno, who's the violin professor at EWU. And then her duet partner, Sarah Whitney, does many interesting things. We're going to find out about them, among of which is she is in the group Sybarite 5, which is the group playing with the Spokane Symphony on the concluding concert of the festival at Sandpoint this Sunday night. So all those things, and yet if that weren't enough, on Thursday night they're playing a concert, and we'll be talking about that too. It's called a pop-up concert, a Seeing Double pop-up concert presented by the organization Beyond the Notes. So let's begin with them as two violin players. This is the second canonic sonata of Telemann played by the Seeing Double Duo. Been hearing the canonic sonata number 2 by Telemann, played for us by the Seeing Double Duo, which is comprised of two violinists, Julia Salerno and Sarah Whitney. And as I mentioned, they're doing a concert on Thursday night, and then we'll be talking later with Sarah about what she's doing at the end of the week. A lot of interesting things coming along. It's about time we had some arts events going in our area. So first, we'll greet our friend, Julia Salerno. Hello, Julia.
Good morning.
And great to have you here. You who, among many other things, but primarily, it's your violin teaching at EWU that you do. But you do a lot of other engagement with a lot of other violinists in the area, don't you?
Yes, it's a lot of fun because my job, which doesn't really feel like a job, but it's so diverse. So it's something new every week and different people to work with and all ages of students and all kinds of performances. So I love the variety of it.
Yeah, good. And then a newcomer to most of us, but a group that has been in the area as Sybarite 5 is Sarah Whitney. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
And I guess right away we need to know about how the two of you know each other. So what's your story as violin friends?
Well, we go way back. Actually, we go way back. We were both at the University of Michigan during our undergrad.
Okay. And so did you have a duo there, or you were just good buddies, or a little both?
We did, actually. We were just talking about our very first concert together, which was, I'd say, about 12 years ago or something
at least.
We performed Navara, which is by Sarasate, and we wore matching red dresses with flowers in our hair.
And then, wait, I'm going to jump in. Oh, we graduated 15 years ago. So it would have been more like 17 years ago, yeah, Sarah.
Well, I'm a music major, not a math major. So
we'll ignore those small facts. And so therefore you came right away up right away, probably on the basis of the red dresses with the name Seeing Double Duo.
Yeah. Well, when we were at Michigan, we're both very tall and, you know, we spent a lot of time together. So we had quite a reputation for being the tall duo.
And the hardest thing to ever define, but what can you describe about the basis of your musical relationship, the way that you click, that you really, that music making seemed right together?
Well, I think when your personalities click as well as the two of us do, it makes it pretty easy to play together. We always seemed to be able to read each other's minds right away when we would start rehearsing and just, you know, a lot of unspoken communication, and we just always had such a blast playing all sorts of music together. Not only as a duo, but we played in quartets together, of course, in orchestra together, and just did so many things. And so it was kind of an easy relationship to start with, and we just enjoyed all the time we could do it.
Yeah. Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I think when you know someone so well, it is kind of like reading their mind. Yeah. I think for us, like, playing together just kind of seems second nature to me. And we have a lot of similar interests as far as the different types of music we want to play. We both have really strong roots in classical traditions, but are also really excited about other genres too. And that's one thing that we've explored a lot, is a lot of different genres, different styles. And it's been really amazing.
And well, as a matter of fact, didn't the two of you play with the EWU Orchestra a year or two ago? You mm-hmm. played, the Bach Double or one of the standard double concertos.
We played a Vivaldi duo concerto, right. But we both mm-hmm. played the Bach Double on mm-hmm. both of our senior recitals.
That's right, we did.
Yeah, with orchestra, and that was a lot of fun. Yeah. And then we did a really contemporary encore, and that was a lot mm-hmm. of fun too.
Yeah.
So here you are, and we'll get in a minute talk about Sybarite 5 playing with the festival at Sandpoint on Sunday night. But so you knew you were going to be in town, so the two of you said, well, let's have a concert. So talk about putting together a concert. You call it a pop-up concert. What does that mean?
Well, a pop-up concert, I guess we're using it kind of as a way, it's kind of an informal pop-up concert. It's a house concert, so it's a small event. Mm-hmm. And it's actually being presented by my organization called Beyond the Notes, which is an organization I started 5 years ago to basically present concerts in a new and interactive way. And we thought it would be really fun to combine our duo with my organization to kind of present a really unique concert here in Spokane. And Beyond the Notes is basically, the premise behind it is it gives the audience a chance to get to know the performers beyond what can be read in their bios. And what's unique about it is when you enter the concert hall or the venue, you're handed a program with a Beyond the Notes pen attached along with a note card. And then you're invited to write down and submit a question. And then throughout the second half of the concert, we answer the questions live on stage. And so I've presented concerts on the East Coast. I've been doing this for 5 years. I've presented many concerts there. And I'm starting to branch out. And now I'm doing the West Coast. And I partner with a lot of organizations to bring this experience as far and wide as I can.
So you get feedback from people. What do they say about why that is different and how that works better for them than an ordinary concert without doing that?
What I've learned from my audiences is that there's a lot of curiosity about the performers they're seeing on stage and kind of what their lives are like, what their stories are. Most of the questions we get are actually asking for stories. A common one is, what is your most favorite concert you've played? What is the weirdest concert you've played? Or stories about why we started our instruments. People are really curious to kind of get an insight into what it's like to be a musician. I think previously, the traditional concert model, sometimes there's a big barrier between the audience and the performers. Historically, the performers don't really talk to the audience very much. The audience is handed a program and there's kind of this divide. And I feel strongly that it actually changes your listening experience when you get to know the people on stage a little bit better. And it just, you know, it also gives the audience a chance to be kind of involved in the concert if they choose to be. And it creates just a different experience, something that they can't get anywhere else.
So this concert Thursday night, which is at John and Lynn Marshall's very interesting geodesic dome house out in the country. And at what time is that? The usual concert time, probably 7:30?
That's at 7 o'clock.
So you're doing that. What are, then musically, what's your range? You talked about different styles of music. So what are a few of the examples of where you're going to go in that journey?
We're going to start with the Telemann we just played and, you know, start with very traditional classical repertoire and then go all the way through some Latin styles and some jazz-influenced music. And we'll have some Bartok duos and some music also by Rocha and Prokofiev, who are two. Oh, those pieces are so orchestral. They're amazing. And so it sounds like there's a lot more than just two players in those pieces. And then we'll each be playing a solo as well.
Nice. And so that's Thursday night. And I guess there's just only a couple tickets left. What's the means by which somebody could find out how to get to that concert?
Sure. Well, you can go to the Beyond the Notes website at www.gobeyondthenotes.com. And there's information about our upcoming events there.
So gobeyondthenotes.com, one big word. And that's if they do that, they'll find their way into that Thursday night concert. Now let's shift for the other reason, for the reason that got you to town, Sybarite 5. First, describe what's unique about those five-string players or about the makeup of that band as five-string players.
Well, I actually think you said it. One of the unique things about our ensembles is that we are five-string players, mm-hmm. which quintet is a rather unique ensemble. For chamber music, there are not many string quintets in existence. One of the main reasons being that there's not a lot of repertoire for string quintet. So one thing that is really amazing for our ensemble and has been our mission is to expand the repertoire for string quintet, which sort of gives us a blank slate to kind of do whatever we want. So we work with a lot of composers. We do a lot of commissioning. We also do some arranging. But in addition to that, we also explore lots of different genres. With the string quintet, so it's two violins, viola, cello, and double bass. With the addition of the double bass, we're actually able to go into genres very easily that have that double bass traditionally. We play a lot of tango. The other violinist is from Argentina. And we do some jazz. We do some rock and roll. We do standard classical. We have a lot of variety with our instrumentation, which gives us, you know, the ability to experiment that way.
And most musicians have a lot of things going, and a major ensemble is one of them. What percentage of your life is taken up by Sybarite 5?
You know, it's a pretty large percentage. Our touring schedule this past year was actually the busiest touring schedule we've ever had. And I'd say, gosh, I think we were on the road about 30 to 40% of that season. Hmm. I think over 12 or 13 states and almost 30 concerts just from January to May. Mm-hmm. But each season is different for us. Next year is a little less touring, but I think that will give us a chance to work more on some projects locally.
And then on Sunday night for the final concert of the festival at Sandpoint, you're presented as guest artist, guest soloist, fronting the strings of the Spokane Symphony. So how do you make that work?
Well, yeah, our orchestra project is a more recent project for our ensemble, and it's been a really exciting venture. So we have taken some of our standard repertoire and had orchestra parts arranged to go along with it. And it's really interesting. It kind of showcases the repertoire in a different way. And it's been a really, really fun project. We're doing a very eclectic program. We have a little bit of rock and roll in there, I think Zeppelin. We're doing a more traditional, we're doing some Holberg. We also have some pieces that were written for us. And it's a really amazing project. And just the thrill of being on the stage with an orchestra behind you is just really an incredible experience.
And so that is the concluding concert at the festival at Sandpoint with Spokane Symphony. Kind of going back to Sybarite 5 and your repertoire, a lot of groups, I think Chris O'Reilly certainly was one who kind of, I think, kicked this off historically, but have taken on such groups as Radiohead and such for their arrangements. And I know that you have a Radiohead album. Talk about what is within the musicality of a group like Radiohead that allows you to really go somewhere with it.
I think Radiohead's music is actually rather complex, and I think that's one of the reasons it's been very appealing to us. There are so many different layers in the music that Radiohead writes and so many different textures, and it has such depth to it, and additionally incredible melodies and just really kind of hauntingly beautiful themes. So we've been captivated by that music, and I think that's also why a lot of other artists have been as well.
Spending time with Sarah Whitney and Julia Salerno, who are the violinists of the Seeing Double Duo. We'll let people be surprised by whatever you do or don't wear on Thursday night. Going back to that.
Well, we are planning on wearing clothes.
Okay. We'll know that much anyway. And at that concert, and once again, the website was
GoBeyondTheNotes.com.
GoBeyondTheNotes.com, that one can find out about how to go to that. And you have a final tune for us. What are you going to play for us?
We do. We're actually going to play a Latin salsa. It's by a composer named Alexey Agudisman, who is actually a Russian, but he has written a bunch of violin duos of all different genres. And he's kind of known for, he's a violinist himself, and he's known for kind of doing creative choreography during his performances. I guess even if we did choreography in the studio, you wouldn't be able to see, but that's what he's known for, and he has a really, really fun duos. So we're going to play a piece called Salsa de la Luna.
Okay, well, let's send you back to the studio. Thank you both for being here. This is the group Seeing Double Duo, who are going to go back to the studio, and as they said, they have a real range of things that they're going to be doing on their Thursday night concert, and then the other part of the conversation, which was about Sybarite 5, which is playing with the Spokane Symphony in the final concert. So, when we're ready, let's go back to the studio for this salsa by Alexey Agudisman. Live in our studio, that was the Seeing Double Duo, which is comprised of Sarah Whitney and Julia Salerno, who we were just speaking with, and they were playing that salsa piece by Alexey Agudisman.